Well, let's take our Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Today we're going to look in Ephesians chapter number 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 3, and we're talking about the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter. The book of Ephesians is a very deep book. Rich in the things of God, in the understanding of the believer. We're talking about how one can be saved and how one can become a child of God, how one can have their sins forgiven and walk with the Lord, what He has done for us. And again, today as we go into chapter 3, Paul, the author of this letter, is building or encouraging, and this is what happens in the Word of God. We're growing, and we begin to grow in the things of God, and it encourages each of us. That's the purpose of the Word of God, is to strengthen, is to bring those who are lost to salvation, is to strengthen the believer, and it's to encourage us. There's great things to come, things God has in store for us. And we saw last time in chapter 2 a lot of Paul again through the Holy Spirit. Now this is the Word of God, so it's the Holy Spirit that's leading the Apostle Paul to tell us and to show us who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me back up, if I may, in verse 18, for example, he said, through him, in reference to Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access today to the Father in heaven by the Spirit of God. Think about the richness of that. We have one who loves us, one who cares for us. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, he said, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So by the way of doing of how the Lord works, in having access by the Spirit to the Father, we're citizens, we're fellow citizens with all of the saints. The saints are people who have been born again, people who have trusted Christ of all ages. We're talking about the church especially. Since the day of Pentecost, after Christ ascended into heaven, 40 days after he was resurrected from the tomb, he sent the Holy Spirit after his ascension. And as Peter preached, the Holy Spirit came, and people were added. That was the beginning of the church, where you and I are today. We're talking about the church of the Lord. He's dealing with the Gentiles. He's dealing with people who aren't Jews. Now we have been included in God's great plan. And I'll say more about this in just a moment. It's not an afterthought. He has included us, and we are fellow citizens with the saints from the day that the church was established. On the day of Pentecost, as Peter preached, the Holy Spirit came and people were born again. And that same thing is what takes place today. As the Word of God is being preached, as the Word of God is being opened, the Holy Spirit takes that and He puts it in our ear and it makes its way in our heart. And the Word of God becomes alive. And we see that we need to be saved. We see we're without Christ. And we see that we can have Christ and we can be saved through the Word of God, through faith. Remember we had seen earlier, said, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's the grace of God, but it's through faith in Him that you and I are saved. We put our faith in what Christ did. And then the Holy Spirit comes now. And he indwells the believer. And we become a part of the church. The church, by the way, had not been established prior to Pentecost, because you remember when Peter, the Lord asked the disciples in Caesarea Philippi at one point, he said, whom do men say that I am? And some said, well, they say that, some say you're Elijah. And then others, and he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said, on this rock I'm going to build my church. And he's talking about himself. He's going to build a church on himself. He's the rock. Peter wasn't the rock. Christ is the rock. And the church, he said, future tense, I will build my church. Hadn't been built yet, but he's going to build it. So on the day of Pentecost, as Peter now, who heard the words of Christ, he's preaching, the Holy Spirit comes, and now the church is established on the word of God, on Jesus Christ, okay? So we're fellow citizens now with the saints. Verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that goes back to what he said. On this rock I will build my church. That's in Matthew chapter 18, by the way. He said, I will build the church on this rock. He's the foundation. Next we find the apostles, who Peter, James, and John, and the prophets that are given out the word of God in the New Testament. Now this church, this body, it's not only the body, but it's a building. It's growing. The church is built, and it's growing. And as you and I, in this day and age in which we live, when people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're added to this building. Again, Christ is the foundation. The apostles, the prophets, early believers, day of Pentecost, and following, you and I are building the building of Christ. He's the foundation. So it's very important to understand how this matter works. It was something that had not been understood in the Old Testament, because the Church of God wasn't, I'm careful to say this, seen in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have the nation of Israel. We find that Abraham was called out by God, you remember, in Genesis chapter 3. And Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, I say this, the Old Testament is all about Israel. Not all of it. Why do you say that? Well, Enoch walked with God before Abraham was born. Noah was a man of God before Abraham. But from Abraham's calling in Genesis chapter 3, now God has called a man, and he said, through this man, he said, I'm going to bless the world. I'm going to bless the nations. And it's going to be through your seed. And by the way, he said in verse 3, he said, those that bless thee, I will bless, and those that curse thee, I will curse. So, In that one little verse, we see the Gentiles. See, it's all about the Jew, I said, from Genesis 12:3. He's about Abraham and his calling. He's going to bless the Jewish people, but the promise, he says, I will bless them that bless thee. That could be you, it could be me. It could be anyone other than a Jew that would bless the Jew and bless God. So stay with that thought just a minute. Because now we're at the point where the church has been established on the day of Pentecost. It's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the apostles and prophets. And by the way, it's growing. And Paul is preaching. He's preaching to the Gentiles. He's the apostle called to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, as I said last time, are anyone other than Jews. Any person other than a Jew is a Gentile. So he's preaching now that the way of salvation has been opened to the Gentiles, and you and I can be fellow citizens, saints with the household of God. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So this building, as we see it in our mind, it's a building made of people. Christ is the cornerstone. You and I are added to this building, and we're growing to build this temple of God. As best we can understand it in our mind, we're building this building, and it's the temple of God. It's the place where God houses himself. We get a kind of a glimpse of this from the Old Testament. Remember back with the tabernacle that God had Moses to build for the Jews. In that tabernacle, there was the Holy of Holies within the middle of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was covered with animal skins, nothing beautiful to look upon, but it was where God came down. And in the Holy of Holies would be where the high priest would go once a year, and only once a year, at God's description of telling him when to go and how to do, and he could enter that once a year. But now, carrying the tabernacle further, as they got into the land under Joshua, of course, many years later, David wanted to build God a temple. They had the Ark of the Covenant, by the way, which was there in the Holy of Holies. And that's where God would come down once a year in the presence of the high priest and receive the sacrifice for the atoning of the people who were sinners. And it was very important that they did everything the way God wanted it done, because if God was pleased, then he would accept their sacrifice and Israel could continue to go forward and have the blessings of God. Well, now they get into the land. They've got the tabernacle that's set up. It's down at Shiloh. We've got the Ark of the Covenant, and the things are there. And further into history, we find that that David, who's the king of Israel, he says, if they've lost the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant never has been in the temple of God. And David says, let's bring that Ark of the Covenant into the Mount of God, Jerusalem. That's where David lived. And they went to bring the Ark of the Covenant. You know the story. It's in there in the Old Testament. It tells how they began to move this covenant. Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments in it. The rod of Aaron that blossomed. And the jar of manna. And they began to move this thing because, again, it was a good idea. David had a good idea. He was a man after God's own heart. And he wanted this piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, to be there in God's holy mount. And they go to bring this ark back. They're going to bring it up to the house of God. And let me say this in what I'm saying, and you'll understand. Sometimes we get caught up with good ideas of what we ought to do for the Lord. Not that God doesn't want us to do good, stay with me, but we need to do it God's way. Many people have a good heart. I want to just do something for the Lord. But folks, you need to do it God's way. See, David wanted to do that. So they go down and they take the Ark of the Covenant and they begin to transport it back to Jerusalem. And what do we find? They got it on a cart and they're moving it. And the cart kind of shakes. Maybe it hits a rock or hits a hole or whatever. And this man places his hand on the Ark of the Covenant to keep it from shifting and falling off of the cart. And what happens? God smites him. He dies. Wow. I think that's how David felt. Wow. What happened? It's God's covenant. We're God's people. What took place? And he's upset about it. Scripture says it. I'm putting it mildly. Then he sits and he thinks, how are we supposed to do things the way that God wants them done? Then he's reminded of how they moved the cart, how they moved the tabernacle, how the Ark of the Covenant was moved. And David got the things in order. See, we need to have things in order, folks. Disorder is disharmony. Good ideas. We want to do something, but is it God's way? So we need to wait to hear from God. God's going to lead his man to lead the people. He did with David. They put things in order. They got the priest in order. They got the singers in order. They got everything in order according to the word of God. And then they began to move the ark. And guess what? It made it to the holy mount of God. And they rejoiced when they got the ark there. And now we've got the temple. Solomon built the temple. And we have the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of God, and it's the Holy of Holies. It's the same. It's where God came down once a year on the Day of Atonement. And the Jew got away from God, the nation of Israel, and they in the temple of God now, They are desecrating the temple of God. They're selling and exchanging money in the temple. You remember in Christ's day, he went to the temple and he cleansed the temple. There's the Holy of Holies over to the side where the high priest would go once a year. Can you imagine being in that temple of Solomon and looking and being able to see the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies? And that's where God meets once a year. And we're doing all kinds of things according to what we want to do in the presence of God. Desecrating his temple. Well, when Christ died on the cross, all of the scripture of the Old Testament of who Jesus Christ is pointed to him as the Lamb of God who would die in our place, and he died on the cross. He died to shed his blood to cover us of our sin so that we could have a way to God, so that we could be forgiven. And he tore the veil of the temple, God did, as Jesus died on the cross. One of the things that happened at that very appointed time was the veil of the temple was torn in two, from the bottom to the top. In other words, now if we'd been in Solomon's temple, we could look into the Holy of Holies. You and I, anyone else, those who could never have gone, now that you can see, God has opened a way, but he's not in the temple. He's not in that Holy of Holies that was established for the nation of Israel. Jesus today is seated at the right hand of God in heaven as the Lamb of God, so that you and I can have a relationship with him, and we can enter into the very presence of God at any time in the Holy of Holies. And see, what we're finding is this building that's being built is Jesus is the foundation, the apostles and the prophets. You and I have been added. Now God resides in the believer. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit in you that comes in to indwell you at the point of salvation. Now there is no Holy of Holies that you and I are separated from. You and I are the Holy of Holies. This is what we find. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, when a person is born again, God takes up his residence in that person. He's not in a place where you and I can't get to. He is in the believer. And this takes place immediately. And when you think about it, what I'm trying to say, and I've said, of course, a lot of it is that God has been dealing with Israel. You see how he called Abraham. He worked through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He worked through David. He worked through Solomon. He worked through his people, the Jews, and now he's working through the Gentiles. Now, let me stop just a moment. Sometimes you and I don't understand fully how important we are to God. See, it's not a second thought, as I said, that what am I going to do? Well, I'll call Abraham. Well, we find that Abraham failed God. He failed God right off the bat. God said, I'm going to give you a son through your wife, Sarah. And Abraham's 90 years old and Sarah's 75. And they're like, well, I don't think this is possible. So why don't you do this? And he did, and by the way, that's the problem of the Middle East, much of it. He didn't trust God. He failed God. But then God came back and spoke with him, and of course, God, and his relationship with Abraham is restored. Everything's going. God's blessing his work with the people. Now the nation of Israel failed God. As I said, look at the Temple of Solomon. In Jesus' day, they failed God. They were to be the light for the rest of the world to see, but they were walking in darkness. And it started at the top. The religious crowd was in darkness. It was called, Jesus said, the blind leading the blind. They weren't leading anybody to God. They were leading people away from God. And now God is not working through the nation of Israel anymore. He's working through whosoever will. I mean, if you're a Jew, you can come to know Christ. You can have the Holy Spirit in you. If you're a Gentile, you can have the Holy Spirit in you. And now we have a book, a letter written by an apostle by the name of Paul, who was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was the top of the religious crowd in Jesus' day who were blind and who led others to be blind. And now this man's eyes have been opened to the things of God, and this is what he's saying to you and to me, that you and I are fellow citizens together with whosoever will that will trust in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And in and through the work of God, you and I are God's habitation. In other words, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives inside of you. Can we just let that digest for a moment? We have the Spirit of God. By the way, the Spirit of God was it's a Trinity, triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three were in creation. That Spirit of God now is inside of you. Inside of you. It's inside of me. I'm born again. I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm still human, of course. I'm in the presence of sin. But we don't have to sin. We have the power of God in us that would enable us not to sin. Man's without excuse. You say, I'm talking about born again believer, that I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. How can you help it? Well, you've got a power inside of you that's stronger than anything in this world, and there's no reason for us to sin. But do we sin? Yes, we do. Why? Because we still have a human nature. And our human nature is bent towards sin. So what do we do when we sin? Jesus said in 1 John 1:9, if we sin, we confess our sin. We tell God, I sin. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we haven't been delivered from the presence of sin, folks. Yes, we've been delivered from the power of sin when you're saved. Now the Holy Spirit's inside of you and you can overcome sin. You can overcome the desire to sin. You have that power if you'll think and use that power. If you'll stay in touch and in tune with the Holy Spirit and walk with Him every day, you can't expect the Holy Spirit to keep you from sin when you walk with Him on Sunday and then you go out the rest of the week and you just do things your way. See, we have to stay connected. He's in there. It's kind of like a power tool, you know. What good is it if you don't have it plugged in? You're going to take a circular saw and sit there and turn the blade with your hand trying to cut something. Not me. You're going to waste your time. But you plug it in and zip. Why don't we plug in? Well, I go to church on Sunday. And that's good. Don't misunderstand me. We need to go to church, but we need to be plugged in every day. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to talk with the Lord. We need to pray. We need to read His Word. We need to let the Holy Spirit fill us. So we are citizens. We're part of this family. We are empowered and inhabited by God. And this now, what I've said so far against Israel, who are God's people, who were blinded, they rejected Jesus Christ. They said, He's not our Messiah. He's not our King. Pilate said, well, what would you have that I do with Him? They said, crucify Him. He said, I find no fault in Him. Not worthy of putting this man to death. They said, crucify Him. Crucify Him. And He said, here, you take it. And they did. They crucified the Savior. These Jews, the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee, I can't help but to think, why would he not have been there? He was one of their religious leaders. Was he there when Christ was crucified? Why would he not have been? He saw that. He was angered by that. As a matter of fact, as I said, when Peter started preaching and the church was formed, it angered the Apostle Paul. This new people now, they say they're children of God. And we're God's children. We're God's people. That's how Paul felt. We're Jews. We're God's people. Who are they? And he's going to arrest them and put them in jail. They're going to be put to death. And Paul is on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. This little group of people who are growing. Why are they growing? Because they've got strength and power. You realize that you're a sinner and you deserve hell. And if you were to die, you'd be in hell. And then you don't want to go to hell. What can I do about it? Well, what you can do is trust Jesus Christ. And that's all you need to do. Trust Christ. You can have eternal life. And why wouldn't people want to do that? Why wouldn't anyone want to be saved? And so they're being saved and they're telling others. By the way, it started with the Jews. Peter preached to the Jews. And the Jews received Messiah or Christ. And it began to grow. And then the Gentiles. So now you have this one who's going to arrest them, and he is smitten on the road to Damascus and by the Lord. And Paul cried out and said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He called this man who was fluent in the religious teachings of the Old Testament. He called this man to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Why? We'll see in just a moment. See, he has written for us this letter. And he's telling you and I, he's telling the world, anyone, whosoever will, who they may be in Jesus Christ. See, we once were, he's talked about, we've seen their sinners. By the way, he said in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everyone. So we need to be saved. We need salvation through Jesus Christ. And now, Paul includes, because of his understanding, in God's calling to this Gentile mass, Paul is preaching to the Gentiles. And he angers the Jews. They were as angry as he was. Maybe more so. They're mad because this one is he's a traitor. They didn't say that. I'm kind of initiating it. Paul's a traitor. He committed treason against us. He was one of us, and now he's saying that anybody can know God. And that's what he said. And because he goes about winning people to Christ, because he goes about preaching that you and I are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, this man has been arrested. They wanted to put him to death. Paul was in Jerusalem. He had gone back there at one point after he had been called to be an apostle. He had gone back to Jerusalem. We find this in the book of Acts. I'm giving a lot of history, but it'll pay off. He had gone back there to Jerusalem to bring a love offering to the church. The church started in Jerusalem where Peter preached. And in the church, I'm saying that kind of facetious, in the church was made up of Jews because Jerusalem was all about Jews. And the Jews had come to faith in Christ, and many of the Gentiles, and those that came to faith in Christ, they wanted to add to the Gentiles that came. They said, wait a minute. We're Jews, and we've been keeping the law, and we've done these things, and now is all they have to do is trust Christ? I mean, you're going to let them get away with that? So Peter and Paul go there, and they talk with James, who's the head of the church, and they say, well, this is what we found. God has used us, and we've seen the Holy Spirit in these people, and they are part of the church. So the Jews said, let's make at least a couple of things for them to do. Let's tell them that they can't eat meat offered to idols. Now, they did that. God didn't say that, but they did it. Don't eat any meat offered to idols. Don't eat anything with blood, and no fornication. And other than that, you can be part of the church. Well, that church in Jerusalem that started with the Jews, that's hounded by the Jews, had a lot of problems. See, they were being, as Paul had been hounding them, now they're being hounded by the whole nation of Israel. They're poor. They're rejected. You go to get a job and put down that maybe it's kind of like today, going into some of the nations. They want to know in some of the nations, what's your business? You put on minister. I'm not going to deny the Lord. Pastor, minister. Uh-oh, that's a red flag. Christian. India, Christian. Got it on your visa. Christian. Why are you here? See, that's the way they did. This believer now, he goes out to get a job. Sorry, you didn't get the job. Why? They didn't tell you why. You know why? You're a Christian. You go to try to borrow some money, maybe fix your home, or fill out the form here. Christian. No loan. They were hurting. So the Apostle Paul, he has gone about now, this one who didn't like the Gentiles, but now God's turned him all the way around. He's preaching to the Gentiles. He's seeing salvation. Paul is taking now gifts and offerings from these poor Gentiles to Jerusalem to help the church. See, folks, we're part of the body of Christ. It's not in this building. It's in every building that preaches and proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. When we're saved, we're fellow citizens. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ all over the world. So when our churches are hurting in India or Africa or Asia or wherever they are, our body's hurting too. And when God is blessing us and there are those who need help, then we need to reach out and help those. That's what Paul was doing. He'd gone back to Jerusalem to take an offering, and they found that he had Gentiles in his presence. And they hated that. They said, this man, now he's with the Gentiles, and they looked for an opportunity. And they said, Paul carried a Gentile into the temple. And they tried to put him to death. And they found out that he was a Roman citizen. So now Paul says, I make my request to Caesar. And he's arrested. And he's in jail. And this is what he's saying in this letter. This letter to the Ephesians is a prison epistle Paul wrote while he was in jail, incarcerated. For what? For his faith in Jesus Christ. And now we see why. I've made a point. Why is he arrested? Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Why is he a prisoner? Because of us. You and me. Oh, I wasn't born yet. No, but it was his preaching. It was the working of the Holy Spirit in him at that day and time that got the word of God recorded for us to tell us that there are none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. See, all of this is a byproduct of what God was doing in this man's life. And the same message that's being preached today is hated by the world. And he's a prisoner for this. What is it? It's the mystery of God. This is what he goes on to say. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. See, he's incarcerated. He's in prison for opening the eyes of those who were blind, for including in God's great plan all whosoever will that may come. He's put into prison. And it's a mystery. That's what he says. This is the purpose. He's been incarcerated. And he said this, that if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, this dispensation of the grace of God is this time frame. Dispensation in the Greek means stewardship. It's a stewardship of the time of the grace of God. It's something that God is doing at a certain time. Okay? So we've got what we call, many say today, we're under the age of grace. What does that mean? That's what Paul said. It means that it's a time where men can come to know Jesus Christ. You and I. Prior to this time, prior to the beginning of the church, the Gentile was not included. It was all about the Jew. Was there grace in that time? Sure, there was grace. God demonstrated grace to Abraham when Abraham failed. God demonstrated grace to Moses when he failed. But it wasn't the age of grace. The age of grace came during the church age. From the cross when Christ died until one day God is going to call us up at the rapture. This age of grace will end. You with me? Will there not be any grace during the period of judgment in the book of the tribulation? See, that's the time of judgment. Prior to the age of grace was the time of law. Until grace came through Jesus Christ. And one day God's going to judge this earth, but there'll be grace then. We've seen in Revelation chapter 7, there's going to be a multitude, millions of people will be saved, but it won't be under the age of grace. It'll be under the judgment of God. There will be those who can come. But we're living in an age of grace today. What I'm saying by that is, look how easy it is to hear the Word of God. You and I. How many of us have heard the Bible preached? We've seen the things of God. How long has this gone on? And it can end at any moment. God can call us up, this age of grace. Family and friends and people that you and I know, that we love and we care for, that never have made a decision for Christ, at that time, it's not going to be as easy as it is today. It's not going to be church services where they're preaching you need to be saved and come to know Jesus. Oh, there's going to be church services going on, but they're not going to be preaching Christ. Today is the age of salvation, the age of grace. And this door is open wide for us today. We need to take advantage of this. The revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery is that God has included us in his great plan. I'm going to have to stop there today for the sake of time. We'll pick up maybe later. Think with me, though, this morning, how blessed we are today as a people. I'm talking about those of us who have accepted Christ. We're blessed not only that we have a home in heaven. We know that God is Christ went there to prepare a place for us. He said that in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. We're blessed to know that he's coming back. He's coming back and he's going to take those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. He's going to call us up and we're going to go to heaven before God judges this earth. And he's going to judge this earth. We're blessed to have the Holy Spirit inside of us who encourages us in times of sickness, in times of problems. Think with me, look at the world today. I've said it before, sometimes it doesn't sink in. None of us know where we may be tomorrow. Two flights went down this week, right? Do you think anybody on that one with the 60 amount of people, military involved, all lives snuffed out that quick? Here's the next one. It's a child that's been medevaced through a Learjet from another country, brought here, had surgery in dire need of a surgery to save their life. They've had the surgery and everything's well going back home. Folks, none of us are promised tomorrow. We don't think about that sometimes, and I'm not trying to cause you to be afraid. What I'm saying is every day is important in our life. Sometimes we look back over and we wonder, where'd January go? I mean, it went by. It didn't go fast enough for me in that cold weather. But January went by, didn't it? Now we're in February. People, time passes on. We need to take advantage of it. Today is the day of salvation. Let's stand together today as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. As I said before, if there's any here today that doesn't know Christ, don't leave this building today. Not sure about that. Come, we'd want to pray with you, talk with you more about it. However the Lord leads, for those of us that are saved, God help us to be a witness in our faith. Father God, we ask you this morning, Lord, to work in and through this service today. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would encourage our hearts as fellow citizens, as joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, you have left us. We're here for a purpose. Retirement wasn't the purpose, Lord. You're still using us. Those of us that have retired, those that are retired, rather, and continue to work in and through this day, Lord, we pray that you would make it clear. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to others. Lord, I know that this world and its problems, their struggles. And we too, as Christians, we struggle. We need strength and we need your help. in whatever problem that's being faced today, Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit today would make himself known in the life of the believer. Lord, lift us up. Lord, use us for your honor and glory. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.